William Morrow and Harper Audio present The Distant Dead, a novel by Heather Young. Performed by Charlie Thurston, Jim Meskimen, Eva Kaminsky, and Cassandra Campbell. Our dead are never dead to us until we have forgotten them. George Eliot. Long ago. The boy shouldn't have been in the cave. He knew this. He was a good boy, the sort of boy who cared about shoulds and shouldn'ts. But the thrill of this particular shouldn't made him feel like a different sort of boy, the sort of boy he wished he were. It was why he was there. The air outside the cave was wavy with late summer heat, but the air inside was cool, and on his tongue it tasted of dust and daring. He was 12 years old, and he was alone for the first time in his life. The cave was some distance from where his people made their camp by the Great Lake, but they could see it, a black eye in a cliff that surveyed the wide, flat basin. They came to this shore every few seasons, following rabbits and other small game through the wetlands. In their stories, the cave was a place that drove men so mad that they returned from it unable to speak, even the seers, who lived mostly in dreams. There was a seer among them now, a bent old man who had visited the cave the summer the boy was born. The boy kept his distance from him, as all the boys did. But he watched as the old man spent long, wordless hours drawing circles in the dirt. Sometimes the seer looked up from his tracings, and in his bottomless black eyes, the boy thought he saw not madness or terror, but something like awe. As he stood at the mouth of the cave, the boy marveled at the earth stretched wide below him. The grasses close to the lake gave way to low brush at the feet of the rocky bluffs that rose above the basin floor like blisters. The lake itself was vast, a blue sheet vanishing into the shimmering sky to the north and east. His people called it Alelu, which in their language meant water of life. 10,000 years later, a different people, half the world away, would make Alelu a song of praise. By then, the Great Lake would be gone, leaving a flattened desert in its wake. Above the boy's head, an eagle soared, black against the sky, a beautiful wild thing that would be dead before the season was done. The boy was beautiful too, with a face as delicate as a girl's and long-lashed brown eyes. He was his mother's only child to live past the suckling years. Like her other babies, he had been sickly and small, and even now he was slight. But unlike his brothers and sisters, he had latched his translucent lips fast to her breast and would not let go. Now he was a singer of songs and a teller of stories, with a voice even the elders hushed to hear around the fire. Tonight the elders would anoint the boy a man, together with two other boys born in the same season. But the boy didn't feel like a man. He saw the arcing muscles of the other boy's arms and the proud bones hardening in their faces, and believed himself to be a child. He heard them talk about the hunts they would join, and knew himself to be afraid of the wild boar and the charging mastodon. He didn't see how the elders listened when he read the stars, or how the other boys looked at him when they spoke, to see what he thought. He saw only how far short of the other boys his stone fell when he threw it in the lake, and how far behind them he ran. He had come to the cave because in the last hours of his boyhood, he wanted to do something brave. So in the lazy part of the afternoon, while his mother slept on the dirt floor of their shelter, he ran through the grass to the
sample complete. Ready to continue?